Amen and amen. Why don't you guys have a seat? Thank you, team. Whew, that'll be a moment like none other. Usually we have communion before the sermon, but today I wanted to have it at the end, and I think you'll see why as we go through the scripture this morning. So we are Team Jesus, called to be salt and light. We are here to be equipped. We come to church to learn, to grow, to be instructed, to be equipped, so we can go out there and be the church. We're preparing to make a difference in people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verses 7 and 10, today with a sermon entitled, The Mediator Who Saves Us. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 5. For this they willfully forget the scoffers, the ones who are like, when is Jesus returning? Come on, you guys have been saying this forever. For this they willfully forget, though, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Talked about this the last couple weeks. They willfully forget how God created everything and how he did it and what it was like, the pre-flood world, and then that world was destroyed because of sin with a worldwide flood, and we looked at all the evidence that we have that proves that to be true, but the world has conveniently forgotten these things. Because if you remember that God created everything, then we're accountable to the Creator, and if you remember that God judged sin, then you are accountable for your sin, and there's a judgment coming. And those are things you don't really, most of the world doesn't want to ponder. So we conveniently forget these aspects of God. But look what Peter says in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word that created the pre-flood world, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. So Peter just, you may want to forget that God created all things. You may want to forget and deny that there was ever a worldwide flood because of judgment of sin. But guess what? There is another day coming. Peter's not going to let the scoffers forget. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, though. The scoffers are forgetting. The scoffers are mocking. And it's hard for us. We say Jesus is returning, and they go, you guys have been saying that for 2,000 years. Oh, there's going to be a judgment of sin, just like God judged the world in the past with the worldwide flood, and they mock that and go, that's a fairy tale. How can God fit all the animals under one ark and all the things we talked about? It's hard. And we wonder, the enemy hits us with doubts ourselves. Well, why is God not waiting? I mean, why is God waiting so long? And why hasn't Jesus come back already? And we keep warning people, and they keep laughing at us. So Peter addresses the scoffers. But here in verse 8, who is he addressing? The beloved, us, the church. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing. That with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, a lot of people have taken this verse way out of context. They say this is what time is like in eternity. One of our 24-hour days is 1,000 years. No, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is God is outside of time. Time doesn't exist for God. He brought time, space, and matter into existence inside his creation. We exist in time. God does not. So today, It might as well be 1,000 years to God because he's outside of time. But look what verse 9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise of his return of judgment, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient to the extreme. Have you ever been around somebody who tested your patience? And some of us have more patience than others, maybe by our personality or what, but we all know what it's like to have our patience tested. God here, his patience is so amazing, and I love the term it uses to describe it. Long-suffering. You're so patient, it's dealing with whoever you're dealing with, it's almost suffering, but you're willing to suffer to deal with them. God's patience with us, with humanity, is long. But his long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Does God get everything he desires? Is God's will always done? God's not willing that any should perish. Are there going to be people who perish? You see, God's will is done. His plan is always done. But when it comes to humanity, and we are unique in his creation, we are the only thing created in his image, and we're the only thing that has free will. Everything else in this creation obeys God. Obeys their design. Animals go by instinct. They can't help it. But we are not animals. Even though we've been taught we were a product of evolution and we're just higher animals. That's not true. We're human beings, special creation of God, made in his image. And we have one thing the rest of creation does not have. Free will. And even though God will, is willing, that's what he desires, is for all to be saved. Free will plays a role in that. He won't force you. You know, we talk about the evil in this world. And yeah, there's Satan and his demonic, but you know the evil in this world comes from us. It comes from humanity. And God is long-suffering with evil humanity. He is so patient. In the days of Noah, he was patient. And then it got to the point where humanity was just evil continually. And then he still showed patience because he gave him 120 years while Noah built the ark and was a preacher of righteousness, warning of the judgment to come before the judgment came. And now we are here today. Seems like the world is continually thinking of evil. Seems like we are in the days of Noah as Jesus taught. And here we stand as faithful believers saying there's a judgment coming. God is patient. But there is a time when that patience does come to an end. But he is patient that all should come to repentance. Not just a belief in God. A lot of people believe in Jesus, believe in God. Oh, they even believe the Bible, and they may even know the Bible. But it's about being born again. A new creation in Christ. By faith we repent and are born again. verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. I'm covering these verses today. I'm reading them, but I'm not going to cover them. We will break these verses down next week. But I want to show you what Peter has done here, what his focal point is. Because he's skipped a lot of things in what we call eschatology, the study of the end. Go to the next slide. So he's talking about the scoffers who deny that Jesus is going to return for the rapture and the second coming. The scoffers. He's talking about they mock. Where is his return? But then he jumps immediately to fire. The earth being burned up with fervent heat. You know, God promised that he would never flood the earth again. He didn't say he would never judge it. He said he would never flood it with water. The next judgment, the final judgment, is fire. But there is so much. Peter just goes from there, to the end. Peter skips what is in between those two moments. Skips the bema seat, the tribulation period, the marriage ceremony, the return of Christ, the sheep and the goats, the millennial reign of Christ, the last rebellion on earth, the great white throne judgment, final judgment, then fire. So here's where we're going to be for the next few weeks. Peter goes from return of Christ to final judgment, and we will explain that final judgment. But I'm going to cover the other things in Scripture between those two moments. And it's amazing because Peter, from final judgment, then connects in this same chapter with the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Truly amazing. So we're going to learn a lot in the next several weeks of what is coming. Our future. Some amazing moments. Some terrifying moments. Some dreadful moments. Peter goes from the last days in this chapter before the tribulation to final judgment. Peter's point here is for the church to see the final end. So many Christians are caught up in the cares of this life. So many Christians are not really dedicated to being the church anymore. So many Christians don't really even think about sharing the gospel. But what Peter's trying to say, listen, God is long-suffering. But don't get lulled into sleep. He is going to return. And there's a judgment coming when everything is going to be burned up. What are you wasting your life for with all this stuff? Peter wants the church to understand the seriousness of the day we live. The day we exist in, the people we need to warn. But for today, I want us to focus on what we've learned about God's long-suffering, His patience, His grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's the heart of God. And that's why this communion table sits before you today. That God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. people use the patience of God against him as a charge, as an evil charge. Oh, your God is not good because he allows evil. Oh, your God is not powerful because he allows evil. Why doesn't he stop it? Why does God allow all the suffering? And that question was asked in our drama on Friday, and Trevor answered it. God is patient, allowing time for evil people to understand their evil, to repent, and be saved. Because when he deals with, and he ends suffering, he deals with evil, he's going to deal with every sinner. But he's wanting all sinners to repent, to be born again, before he brings that judgment. But do not let people feel like they don't have to be, that they don't have to worry about this judgment. God has fixed a day when he's going to judge all people. He's going to deal with all evil, and he's going to end all suffering. It's a day fixed. Just because God is being patient right now and the world is taking advantage of that patience doesn't mean that day is not coming. Acts 17 tells us, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men, all women, everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day. It's fixed today. It's called Judgment Day. It's going to happen. He's already set the day. We don't know when it is, but we do know it's coming, on which he will judge the world. Period. In righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead, Jesus Christ. He's fixed today. Our God is righteous. Our God is just. Our God is holy. And he will judge, and he will end all evil. And he will judge all who are not found in Christ. But he is patient. Because each day, hopefully, his people, his servants, his children he has saved are sharing the gospel, are trying to help sinners find truth. And each day, more and more people are saved. One by one, they come into the kingdom and are saved from the wrath to come. Because that's God's will. That's his desire. And as his people, as his children, we should desire his desires. If his spirit has come into us, we should have those desires. That's why we share the gospel. That's why we dedicate our lives after coming to Jesus Christ to God. It's no longer about us. It's no longer about our careers, our education, our dreams. We lay those at his feet. And we don't allow any relationship in this world that we have with people, family, friends, whatever it may be, to come before our relationship with God and our obedience to him. Oh, Pastor, that's too dramatic. That's too extreme. No, that is Christianity. That is discipleship. As the disciples told Jesus, we have left all. And I'm not suggesting we leave our families or anything like that, but we lead our families into the service of God, telling them there's nothing more important. Yeah, it's extreme for what mainstream religion Christianity teaches. And it's extreme to a world that's filled with narcissism and self. Wasn't extreme to Jesus, who came and fulfilled the Father's will and died in our place. It wasn't extreme for the disciples who gave their lives to take the gospel around the world. It wasn't extreme to the first century Christians who were burned at the stake, who were fed to lions. It's not extreme to the persecuted church today overseas, willing to go to prison, willing to be beaten, raped for their testimony of Jesus. It wasn't extreme for that young missionary that went to that island with hostile Indians and on his lips, as they aimed arrows at him, he said, "Jesus loves you." He gave his life so they could hear Jesus loved them. It's going to take somebody else to go back there and follow that up. Before we take communion, I want us to understand the patience of God played a role in each one of us coming to Christ. For some of us who were not part of the church and we traveled roads away from the church, we were just those sinners out in the world. And God's patience brought us and found us where we were and brought us in to those sinners who were sitting in church since they were little and they were self-righteous and they didn't understand how bad their sin really was until God opened their eyes somehow, some way. And even though they've been in church their whole life, they realized they were never a true believer. The patience with us who are outside the church, those who are inside the church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, all women, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." There it is. Same God. He desires all to be saved. He doesn't want to judge anybody. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who died for our sins. And only through Him can you have your sins forgiven. Only through Him can you be restored to your Heavenly Father. Who gave Himself a ransom for all, though. All. Whosoever can come to Him. To be testified in due time. All. Even the worst of sinners. Because God's patience is long-suffering." Paul points this out in the first chapter of this book, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant." As we sang in that first song, the story we have is that the God's grace is greater than all our sin. Grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. With faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. I think I look at Paul's life and I could compete with him and say, "No, what, Paul, I'm the chief." I'm sure some of you could probably argue with him in that point. Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. Christian. Christian. Means follower of Christ. Are you interested in saving sinners? Are you supporting the true meaning of the church? It's not attendance. It's not a religious thing. What we're about to do here is not a religious act. Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That was His desire. It's the Father's desire. Do you have the same desire? Does it even concern you? If you're a Christian, if you have Jesus Christ, you should have the desire. I never had the desire until I was born again, and then I had the desire. And I started sharing by God's grace. But I find it very peculiar today that so many Christians don't share. And a lot of them don't share because they don't live the life. They live a life here, but then out there they live a different life, and if they try to share Jesus out there, people are going to call them away, man. You're a hypocrite. So a lot of people don't share because they're not really walking the faith. But this is the heart of God, to save sinners. Christ is in you. We should want to save sinners too. It doesn't matter how bad they are. As Floyd says, some of the worst people out there are going to believe. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering. There's that word again. As a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Why was Paul saved? Why did God choose Paul, who was Saul? One, because He loves Paul. He loves Saul. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Why are you saved? Because God loves you. And He doesn't want you to perish. But there's another reason. He didn't just save you just to save you. And just like Paul obtained mercy so he could be an example to everybody else. And people say, well, hey, I don't think God could forgive all my sin. Oh, well, He can, because let me tell you about the Apostle Paul, who murdered Christians. He can forgive Paul, who was Saul. He can forgive you. Oh, I don't think Jesus could forgive me all I've done. Oh, no! You don't know what I've done. If He can forgive me, He can forgive you. I know Gordon has told people that. Many of us who have traveled roads that we should never have traveled. But you were saved. Not just for yourself. You were saved to be a witness, to be an example to others. You know, we had a drama on Friday. It was based on a true story of three Marines who their rifle company nicknamed the Three Wise Men. Because these Marines were believers. They were not ashamed. They were good Marines, but they were also believers. And they felt it necessary, especially in the worst conditions you can find yourself in war, in a combat zone, in a theater of military operations where people are trying to kill you. Even under those extreme situations, they said, we must share Jesus. And they were leading their fellow Marines to Jesus. And a couple of them were led to Jesus right before they were killed in combat. They were three believers who, didn't matter what circumstances they were in, they had a higher calling to be light and salt. You were saved for that reason. God saved us because He loves us, but He also saved us to be salt and light. 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's time. We are to testify. we're about to take communion. So if I could have the ushers come forward. We're about to take communion. This is for those who have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. If you haven't been born again, do not take this communion. That is religion. This is not a religious act. This doesn't make you right with God. It doesn't please God for you to take it. This is for us to remember what it cost Jesus Christ to save us. This is showing us the long-suffering and patience of our God. And if you take this and you have not been born again in the blood of the Lamb, you condemn yourself before a holy God because you are saying, I am taking the requirement symbolically of what it takes to pay for sin, but I haven't turned from my own sin. Not a good thing to do. Just let it go. Let it go by you. But as we take it, remember it's based on the long suffering of God, His grace towards us. It's based on the man, Christ Jesus, who is the mediator. It's His body. It's His blood. Thank you, John. has become our custom. Set a cup and a wafer to the side for those who have not yet heard of Jesus Christ. But God is going to use us, hopefully, I pray, to share the gospel with people. And they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they will join us in the fellowship and in the worship of our Lord and Savior. But until then, it is us. Just like the disciples back then that sat down with their Lord, their Master, when he took the bread and he broke it. So this is my body which is broken for you. Eat and remember me. Then he took the cup. So this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that is shed for the remission, for the removal, for the purification of all your sin, the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Jesus. Drink and remember him. Team, come on up. Our closing song will be our prayer and our thanks to our Lord. Amen, amen. For Trevor, Kevin, Jim, who else was mocking me this morning? 11:58. I'm done. Yeah. In your face. So technically I'm done, but this is not something usual we have here, so it's not my fault. Gary and Wendy are going to want to come and join our church as official members. They have been attending for a while. They have been baptized. I have gone through and talked with them and shared their testimonies with me. And I've gone through all the, that they believe what we believe. And now they thought they were members because they, you know, we've been attending for so long, but a lot of people don't realize that you have to become an official member, so you have voting rights and things like that. And they decided they want to become members. So, you guys still want to become members, or you change your mind? Come on up then. No, yes. I don't know what that means. So, Gary, you know what? Wendy's awesome. Wendy is it, but Gary, he's amazing. No offense on Wendy. This man was an answer to prayer this week. We had a lot going on this week. And on top of it, I'm driving to church, and I look down, and my temperature gauge is pegged. And I'm like, oh, I'm on the road. I'm like, oh, no! Like, Lord, help me get to the church. So I'm not stuck on the side of the road. Well, by the grace of God, I got to the church. And radiator fluid started going everywhere. So I'm all the stuff I got to do this week, with the drama and everything, and now my truck broke down. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fix my truck. So I'm in between doing things here at the church. I'm running out there and chewing up my knuckles, and I'm not a mechanic. And if one thing tests my long-suffering, it's working on a car, and it's not there. So I'm getting mad, and I'm realizing Lisa can see me on the camera, the security system, so I can't throw things. It's all being videotaped, and I know she'd do that to me. So I'm working on that. I couldn't get this one piece off for like an hour. And there's two or three times I'm stopping. I'm stepping back from the car, and I'm going, because I want to start hitting things. Gary pulls up. Because I'm asking God, I say, God, help me, why are you doing this to me? Gary pulls up. 5 minutes, no kidding. Less than 5 minutes, he has the piece off. Then I've been working an hour to get off. And I realized God answered a prayer. Gary showed up. Boom. And that was not the only one. Then the next day, that's at night, and so I left the truck here overnight. And I went the next morning, and I got the part. And I got here, and I couldn't get the part on. Well, I got it on, but I couldn't tighten the last clamp because I couldn't get my screwdriver in there, and I couldn't get my ratchet in there to tighten the little clamp down on the hose. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Come on, man. Gary shows up. He's got this ratchet that curves. And he goes, I got the tool for that. And I'm like, wow. I tried to steal it. But he was answered to prayer twice. So, Wendy, I love you, but I really love Gary. They want to follow Christ. They want to honor Christ with their lives. And they want to join us in fellowship. All in favor, say aye. Anybody nay? Okay. Let's pray for them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for Wendy and Gary. We pray for their special little family. We pray for them that you bless them, Lord. They have a business. They're working in hard times. And Lord, I ask you to just bless them as they have lined their life to you, as you have come into them and saved them and changed them, and they are aligning their life to be in obedience to you. Lord, I ask you to bless that. I ask you to use them. I ask you to use their local business. And I ask you to use them here at the church. Lord, I thank you for them coming and joining us in fellowship. And I ask you, Lord, just bless this. Bless all of us who are coming together as a church, as one body, to function in this town in these last days. I do thank you for your answering prayer. And I ask you to continue to work through both Gary and Wendy in this church body and in this town. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Now we are King Jesus. I am 3 minutes over, 4 minutes over, but it's their fault. You guys can't go nowhere. Stay up here. So it's their fault I went over, but I was done on time. But enjoy the rest of your day. Relax today. Take a good nap. Get ready. Tomorrow's off, holiday. Enjoy yourself. Relax. Get ready for the week. But remember, this week we are still Team Jesus. Wherever you go, you have an opportunity to be salt and light. Let's be salt and light. let's go serve our Lord and Savior. He is the mediator who has saved our souls because God was patient. Count of three, once we break, come up here and you can welcome them and hug them and do all that sort of stuff. But no holy kissing. That was biblical times, holy kissing Jesus, but don't do that. I might kiss Gary because he was my hero this week. So, count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three, break. Let's go.